Drew McIntyre is with us. We'll be in the squared circle tonight at the Coca-Cola Coliseum. It's the WWE Live Road to WrestleMania. And you're up early and you're here. We're just having a nice, quiet chat with you. And yet I've seen when you get aggressive and yelly, and man, and I get accused of that too by Ashley and Hugh specifically.
You're far less intimidating.
It's nice. You're not going to, I feel like we can't even make you raise your voice over the next 10 minutes if we tried. You're just mellow this morning.
I'm a mild-mannered gentleman. But when I get in the ring, you know, my nickname is the Scottish Psychopath for
a
reason.
It is the quiet ones that you do have to look out for, though. We all know this. We all know someone that kind of just sits there and they don't really say much, but then they just snap and you're like, oh, should have seen it coming.
I'm so relaxed in real life. I get it all out in the ring. I'm nice and calm all the time.
Plus, you're living in, you're Scottish, but you're living in Florida with all these advanced age people. Let's put it that way. Old sounds like an insult.
They're my favorite kind of people.
That's right. I mean, you
except
know,
they're just, driving. Just don't be on the road when they're driving.
There's a lot of right signals flashing when they're turning left. So tell us about the road to WrestleMania. WrestleMania is set April 7th. It's in New Jersey this year. This is WrestleMania 35. Do these matches dictate who? I know a couple matches are set, like the championship. But do these matches dictate who fights who at WrestleMania?
Yeah, on the road to WrestleMania. You know, this is where everyone's given 110%. You want to earn that opportunity to be part of WrestleMania, our biggest show of the year. And any show that you go to right now, everyone's trying to outdo each other. Currently, I don't even have a match on WrestleMania. So you're going to be seeing me giving absolutely everything, being a real psychopath out there, taking everybody out because there's no way I'm not getting a significant match on WrestleMania. And it all starts, you know, tonight at the Coca-Cola Coliseum.
Who do you go against tonight?
Ooh, I believe they're advertising against Dean Ambrose, who have been beaten up for the past 2 weeks. The guy is a glutton for punishment. His nickname is the Lunatic, and I'm the Psychopath, and you put us together, we get a little crazy.
It's an asylum. It's going to be an asylum in there today.
It's going to absolutely be an asylum. The guy is nuts. He just keeps coming back, and I keep knocking him out, and he keeps coming back. It's crazy. So come here live and see me knock out Dean Ambrose again.
When you have kind of peers and colleagues like Edge, I believe it was saying that you are so deserving of having a fight in WrestleMania. What does that mean to you that people are kind of recognizing your ability, your talent, your showmanship, and want to see you in the spotlight?
That means the world, especially somebody like Edge, who I respect so much. These days, it just lets me know that I'm on the right track. I'm doing the right things. You know, when I was younger, and I was with WWE from age 21 to 28. And if I heard something like that, maybe I'd let it get to my head and be like, you're damn right I do. These days, as a more mature sports entertainer, I'm 33. I've been doing this for 18 years. It just tells me, you know, I'm on the right track. I'm doing the right things. If someone like Edge is, you know, saying that, and it means the world to me.
Did that time that you kind of stepped away from WWE, because you're returning now for your second stint, as I understand
yes.
it, did that time make you hungrier? Did it make you appreciate that organization more? Or what did it teach you to kind of lead to your development and maturity?
I mean, it taught me everything. The big thing was, you know, the maturity. As I say, I went straight from university, straight to WWE. I was straight on TV. And I didn't know any better, so I had no real perspective. I had no basis of reality. I lived in an alternate universe. And it wasn't until I stepped away I realized the opportunity and, you know, my lifelong dream that I really wasn't given 110%. And I learned so much from so many different legends over the years. You know, the day I got the call and I was released, I just moved into my first apartment with my then girlfriend, now wife. We'd been living there for 3 days when I got the call, our first place together.
Oh, dang.
So she came home, I broke the news. She was a little upset. And I went, no, this is a good thing. This is an opportunity. It's time to put up or shut up. You know, I believe I'm meant to do more than I was doing at the time. I was in a comedy character at the time. And I said, no, this is the chance to prove to the world who I really can be. And this is my chance to apply everything I've learned, take it around the world and really be something, because the wrestling world all over, not just WWE, was taken off at the time. And I knew I could be a significant part. And thankfully, I had the chance to represent multiple companies, learned how to be a top guy, how to be a franchise player. And I came back with that experience of applying everything, being a top guy everywhere else, and brought that back to WWE as a man, since I was a boy when I left.
So you're 33 now, and you say you've been doing this for 18 years. So you were 15 when you started wrestling. So I'm always curious as to the genesis of this. How does a 15-year-old Scottish kid become a wrestler, and what attracted you to the sport?
I mean, becoming one was great difficulties. At the time, there really wasn't any UK scene as such. There was one company in existence. There was no Scottish wrestling scene. So since I was about 11, I was trying to convince my parents to let me go to train in England at the wrestling school, 12 hours from where we lived. They said no, so I sent to America for the Inside Secrets of Wrestling, Volume 1 and 2. They told me to keep the secrets of wrestling in these books. So I used to keep it in a briefcase, lock the combination, because the books told me to. I was 11 at this time, so I'd go to school. Everyone would talk about the wrestling, you know, like what they were seeing on screen. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, well, I know how it really works, but I'm keeping the secrets right now. And finally, when I was 15, I convinced my mom to let me go to the wrestling school, which was 12 hours away. And I would go as often as I could during summer holidays, during school breaks. I would travel the 12 hours, learn to wrestle, and inevitably start the modern-day Scottish wrestling scene, which is thriving right now.
But was there a point when you were doing this where, because I'm sure a lot of kids try out, and a lot of kids want to do this, but was there a point where it kind of, the light went off and you said, yeah, I could do this for a living?
I mean, that was what I was going to do as far as I was concerned. Everyone else were the doubters because no Scottish person's ever been signed from Scotland to WWE. That was the big American thing. So for me, that's all I was ever going to do, no matter what it took. And then it was as time passed, everyone was like, ha ha, Drew the Wrestler, ha ha. Okay, he's doing a little better, but you're not going to do that American thing. And I just kept pushing and pushing, just had tunnel vision. No matter what, I was going to do it. And when I was 21, I was the first ever Scottish guy signed, and everyone went, oh, I knew he was going to make it all along. But I think I was the only one that believed it, and it was my whole life I wanted to do it. No matter what, I was going to do it. And I guess it helped being 6'5".
It helps. Drew
McIntyre. Doesn't hurt.
Yeah, you didn't have to go and be like, okay, my name is going to be the jockey. And I am going to
Plus, then you got to ride a horse into every ring in every city.
It's,
hard to
pack up.
You're renting them. Drew McIntyre is our guest in studio. It's the WWE event, Live Road to WrestleMania tonight at Coca-Cola Coliseum. As we mentioned, WrestleMania is at MetLife Stadium in Jersey on April 7th. The viewership over there has to be better. Everyone gets more channels. Everyone gets more TV. When you were a kid, it's the same thing here with soccer, as you can imagine. You can see more matches. People said, well, when did you become a big soccer fan? I'm like, the mid-90s, because you just couldn't see the matches. And pre-internet, how are you supposed to follow a team? Now everyone can follow you that's a wrestling fan in the UK a lot easier probably than they could have 10 years ago. They see you all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially like with social media, you know, and the likes are so big now. Everyone can keep up with everything on there. And, you know, we've got the WWE Network, which I wish we had when I was a kid. I believe you get it here for $12.99 for, you know.
A relative bargain.
It's insane. Like the bargain. I wish we had this when I was a kid. Like, we literally have every pay-per-view on there, the modern ones, but you get everything from back in the day, from WWE, from WCW, from ECW, just some of the old territory companies. Like, and you get WrestleMania for free, which itself is, you know, pretty hefty by itself. If you want to get in pay-per-view, you get the network, and then it's just part of the bargain. I wish we had the network when I was a kid.
Have you gotten to do a big card in the UK live in person in London, in Glasgow, in a big city?
We've done a lot of big shows in the UK, but it's been a while since we've had like a pay-per-view there. Like, you know, y'all have got obviously SummerSlam. Is that right? Yep, SummerSlam coming up in August, but it has been since 92 that we had SummerSlam in the UK. So I've been pushing for it hard. Obviously, with the time difference, it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
But I'm going to keep pushing until it happens eventually. But I'm excited that, you know, Toronto's getting SummerSlam, because everybody here loves their wrestling, loves their sports entertainment. They're so knowledgeable. I love meeting the fans and stuff, because they are mental. They remind me of the UK, you know, like you say, soccer fans, who are just a bunch of wild maniacs, get drunk and have a good time. And that's what I love about this place.
Okay, so I have one final question, because when I started watching the WWF at the time, my babysitter used to bring over VHSs, and it was like Bret the Hitman Hart, it was Undertaker, it was Mick Foley, it was Goldust, it was like all those guys. Like, that was my introduction to wrestling, and it all looks so glamorous, but the come up to get to a point where you are kind of in the limelight and are successful, there's got to be some horror stories about making your way through that and being able to persevere and be like, it will be worth it, it will be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of any specific examples, but you know, prior to getting signed when I was 21, I was, you know, living at home, and I was at university at the time, so it wasn't too bad. But I kind of done it backwards, I guess. I was with WWE for the 8 years and all the glamorous WrestleManias and, you know, shows like, you know, tonight at the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. It's all very like big shows, very exciting, lots of people. And then when I left, I had to, you know, get an ego check, because some of the shows I was doing didn't have 10,000 people or 70 or 80,000 people like WrestleMania. Some of them had 300 or 400.
Yeah.
And that might like rock a lot of people. And I said, no matter how many people are here, I'm going to wrestle just as hard in front of that many people. So something like that was a bit of a, you know, something to wrap your head around. But I just worked as hard in front of 300 as I do in front of 80,000. And in Scotland, for example, when I got back, we had 1,000 people at the biggest show. And by the time I left, we had 7,000 2.5 years later. So the hard work all paid off. But yeah, yeah, so you got to check your ego out the door sometimes.
So
yeah.
A couple months ago, you have a four-way match involving John Cena. There's people that for years, whether it's been a Hogan or a Piper, they get larger than life. Is that still that feel that John Cena has when you step in the ring with him?
Yeah, I was very excited to be in the ring with John because who knows how many times he's actually going to be back. Obviously, he's killing it in Hollywood right now, mm-hmm. and I just wanted that opportunity to prove myself by knocking down one of the biggest dogs of all time. I was excited to get in the ring with himself and Vince McMahon for one of the segments and, you know, let John know his time was up and tell Vince, my time is now in front of the world.
In no uncertain terms. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's amazing having you in. It's Live Road to WrestleMania show tonight. What about a pro-Brexit character? Do you think, I don't think enough of the American audiences will really grab onto that hot political issue, will they?
Oh, no, no. I've not been following it. I've been out of the UK so long, I just don't know. And I'm not American, so I can't comment on any of that stuff.
Yeah. But you got to, like, there was a character, who was the guy? Hugh Irwin R. Scheister, and he was like a tax attorney. And you know, you're like, who's gonna cheer for a tax attorney?
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to get bought in it
if I cheer for it. Right. But that's a great bit.
Yeah. And as a character. He still works for us. He works backstage now. We call him Captain Mike.
Oh,
Captain Mike Rotundo, IRS.
It was Mike Rotundo. That's right. Yes. That's right. I totally forgot who IRS ended up being. Well, we loved having you in. And Toronto has a burgeoning film and TV scene, and I see you. If it's not Hollywood, we're always welcome to have you here.
He's not going to play you in a film, Greg.
I wasn't thinking quite that. You haven't seen me run 3 miles. Of the
I'm waiting for Braveheart 2, The Rise of Wallace when he comes back from the dead. Oh. That's my role.
Yeah, but that's got to hit the theaters,
though. Spoiler alert, he died in the first one.
Oh, no, great. Man, no, he's fine.
Yeah, you don't give that away.
Wait,
for people
what?
Who haven't
saved
seen
him in the last second.
You can take some liberties. Luke Skywalker was in the last Star Wars. Hugh, you don't have to totally follow what happened.
Zombies are the cool thing now. It's like zombie Wallace.
Thank you so much for coming in, and good luck tonight and on the way to WrestleMania.
Thank you for
Jersey.
Having me.